Good morning. Hey, I'm Vicky. Nice to see you guys here this morning. I just came in this morning and Chinu was already here setting up like all the coffee in the back and stuff like that. I, of course, got my cup of coffee. He comes in an hour early. He grinds the beans fresh. Of course, we would never dream of any other way. Although, instead of calling it the coffee bar, I should probably call it the hot chocolate bar because that is probably the most popular drink back there. I know not a few children who come here just for the hot chocolate. And if we did not have hot chocolate, they would not be here. And, you know, in fact, I remember one Sunday, and we do lemonade in the summertime, just in case you guys know, so you guys know what's on our menu. And I remember seeing a little girl, like, who had been coming to church, and that lemonade had been part of her routine here at church. And, like, the first thing she would do, come through the door, she would go get her cup of lemonade, and then church would commence, you know? And she got there, and she stood where the lemonade usually is, and there was no lemonade because it was fall, and we had just switched to hot chocolate, and she just, like, melted down because she's like, where's my lemonade? This is part of my church experience. And the mom so wisely pivoted and said, hey, we have apple cider here. Let's do apple cider, right? But what I noticed is like, man, just something very simple, maybe not that simple, as a coffee bar or a hot chocolate bar has become something that is, you know, just a tangible entry point for our kids and for us, you know? It is thoughtfully put there by our hospitality team. They come an hour early, they set it up, they stay late to clean up afterwards, right? It is there intentionally to create warmth. There's something about holding a warm cup of something and sipping, like carrying it around. It's like almost like a security blanket, right? Like, and there's just something cozy and warm and comforting, especially in the winter, to have something like this and know like, oh, this gets to be part of my experience. I swear I'm not trying to like evangelize on coffee. It's just, you know, it is an experience, right? Now, we have kicked off 2025 with a new series called Sacred Rhythms of the People. And the idea of this series is that as Christians, we do a lot of things regularly. There are rituals in how we follow Jesus and how we gather together. And, you know, we as people form habits, but the reality is habits form us. And sometimes when we just do these rituals and we do these habits and we don't think about the meaning behind it or why we do it, it just becomes another thing that we do. And so we sing together, we meet together on Sundays, we do communion together, we do baptisms every once in a while, right? We give together, right? We have coffee and hot chocolate in the back together. And sometimes we just think, oh, that's just what we do. That's just what it looks like to be part of church, is that we just do that, right? But our hope is that in this series, we will kind of recalibrate and rethink about why it is that we do these things, and that it would breathe new life and new meaning into these things that can easily just feel like routine or rituals, and that we would be thinking a little bit more about that. So here's a list of some of the things that I mentioned and that we're going to be touching on. And for some of these things, we might spend more than a week on it. And these are just things that we're like, hey, this is just part of what it looks like for us to meet together. But we hope to breathe new life into it. And the idea of why it says of the people is that liturgy is kind of how we, is another church word for how we do these rituals, right? And it can be more disciplined or structured ways of how we do it. And but the liturgy, the word liturgy, just means the work of the people. And so, sacred rhythms of the people. Now, hospitality is what we talk about this morning. And hospitality, in its simple definition, is just a friendly and generous reception of guests, visitors, or strangers. Right? And we all know it's more, hospitality is more than just hosting someone in your home for dinner or having someone stay with you over the holidays. Hospitality goes beyond like inviting kids over for a play date, although that requires a fair amount of hospitality too, right? We have these things called third spaces, right? Where now we are starting to meet people not in our homes. We're meeting people at coffee shops. We're meeting people at the school playground. We're meeting people at churches. And those are spaces where the space itself and inviting them into these spaces does not, it's not about the space. It's actually about whether or not we're hospitable people, right? And so what it looks like to be a hospitable person here at Missio, right? Like, we have the coffee bar, we have greeters at the door, we have meet and greet, right? And these are all spaces where we get to practice hospitality. But, you know, the reality is that we know that people love coming here because we have good coffee and hot chocolate, but hopefully that's not the only reason why they come and that they would stay here because of our coffee. Because if you want, I'm sure that there's another church that does better coffee and better hot chocolate, right? And they might have lemonade year-round. But the hope is that you're staying, right, because, and you're coming here is because you feel like there's a space of belonging, or that you are experiencing the character of God. Hospitality is really just an entry point and a springboard for people to welcome one another and get to know them and help them feel like they are wanted here, right? And that happens in numbers of ways, but at the end of the day, we really want people to come because they experience belonging and welcome in this space. And by the way, when I show you that list, there might be some things where you're like, yes, no, like maybe, right? Like, and you like to kind of say like, these are the things that I like, these are the things that I don't like. And I think that sometimes we think that some of these things might be optional, but the reality is none of it is optional. We come to the table in communion, and whether or not you choose to engage with it, the invitation of Jesus saying, yeah, but I've laid the table for you anyway, and my invitation is for you to receive my love and my sacrifice for you. That invitation still comes to you every single time. You're invited to sing with the worship team this every single Sunday, and whether or not you sing out loud or in your hearts, the reality is it is not optional that you are invited to declare the truths of who God is and who you are. Right? That is not an optional thing. And similarly, as you hear like, ooh, hospitality, not for me because I'm an introvert and I don't like talking to strangers, I would just gently love to share with you that that is not optional either. And so before you decide to tune out and, you know, play connections on your phone, I just want you to know that this morning is for you as well. Now, let's go ahead and look at John 21, because I love this picture of Jesus displaying hospitality. All right, so if you have your Bible with me, go ahead and turn to John 21, 2. And you can also just go ahead and look up, and the passage will be up there as well. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even so, with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now, Peter and the disciples, after Jesus had been crucified, they had been following him, and they had pinned all their hopes and their dreams on this teacher and rabbi, this one that they followed and said, "This guy is going to change our lives. We are different because of him." And they take him and they crucify him, they kill him. And he's raised from the dead, but they have lost their identity. They've lost their calling. They've lost their leader. And they're feeling disillusioned. They're feeling lost. And so when Simon Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to do the thing that I know what to do now, the life that I had before I met Jesus," the disciples, whether or not they were fishermen or not, were like, "Okay, we'll come with you." Because we also don't know what our lives are about now. We also don't know what is ahead for us. So we'll just follow what you're doing because we have no idea what we're supposed to make of our own lives. Last week, Tim walked us through the Passover meal. That was the backdrop and the context of the Last Supper, right? And how we are to understand communion in light of that. And now we're on the other side of his death, the other side of the cross. Jesus has resurrected, and one of the first things he does is he pursues those who feel like they're lost. He pursues to restore relationship with those that have given up, who believe that they're beyond redemption. Because in between the Last Supper and now in this new breakfast, Peter finds out something about himself that he didn't want to believe about himself. That even though Jesus said, "You're going to deny me three times, you're going to betray me," and he had said at that Last Supper, he's like, "No, that's not who I am. I am loyal. I love you. That's just the essence of who I am." And Jesus is like, "Okay." And then we see that that's what Peter does. He denies Jesus three times. And he's dealing with the disappointment of that and the shame of that and the guilt of that. But also, I would imagine that he feels like, "I don't even know who I am. I thought I was this person. I am passionate. I am loving. I am loyal. I am the guy that you want standing by you." And then at the biggest moment of need, he's like, he bailed. And he's like, "Not only have I failed, but I don't even know who I am," right? And in the midst of that, he loses not just his identity. He doesn't just lose Jesus. He doesn't just lose his image of himself. He loses his purpose. He loses his vision of what is next and what is ahead of him. And he is lost. He's absolutely lost, right? And we know that that's kind of who Peter is. He's inconsistent. He's compulsive, right? Like, I totally get it. You know, that when he is in the boat and John says, "It is the Lord," he's like, "I'm jumping in. I'm going to swim towards him." And the rest of them are like, "You know, we're really not that far from shore. We'll just row the way back. We'll just pull in," right? But that's just who Peter is, right? And he has to deal with this inconsistency of himself where he's failed who he really thought he was, right? And so Jesus comes into that space. Jesus comes, and he does it first with food. He has a charcoal fire, roasting fish. He has bread. And he says, after a long night of working, and again, a failure, they caught no fish, right? They're exhausted. They're defeated. And Jesus is like, "Come and have breakfast with me." I remember during the pandemic, I was so sick of cooking. I was like, please, somebody else cook for me, you know? And I remember one of the first things that I really felt the vision for with women's ministry was like, I want to invite women to come to my table and I want to cook for them. And I want them to eat something that they did not have to prepare for themselves for the last 2 years, you know? And there is something that is just so soul-filling about that says, I matter here, and somebody else saw that I mattered and would cook for me and would put a plate of food before me with the care and the love that I deserve and long for, right? And we know that food can communicate so much, and Jesus does it first with food, and it is not an uncommon image in Scripture, right? Over and over again, the picture of Jesus inviting people to the table, of God saying, come and eat. Food that you have not bought, eat, drink deeply. You know, like all these images of lavish banquets. We see that image again and again, right? We see that Jesus' first miracle is around a party, around food and drink, right? We see that Jesus' parables again and again are around banquets and parties and food, right? We see all these pictures of Jesus saying, eat food before you. We see Jesus inviting and welcoming those who are not invited to any parties, where in their society they are left on the outside and saying, you're not invited here. There's no space at the table here for you. Right? People who do not have access to the table, he invites them in, he gives them access, and he says, you are welcome here at my table. Right? The guys that are breaking a hole in the roof, crashing the party, he's like, yeah, you're welcome here. The woman that comes to a party that she was not invited to, who weeps and anoints Jesus' feet while others look at her in disgust. He's like, you are welcome here, and I am going to honor you in front of everyone else. Right? There are so many people that are not at the table, and again, Jesus invites them to the table and says, here, you have a space with me. Those on the outside who think that they're beyond restoration, he's like, at my table, I have set a place for you. He pursues them and he invites them to come to the table and eat. He invites them to sit at the space that has been empty, waiting for them until they have come. And it is consistent with the character of God that Jesus would pursue Peter at this point and remind him by inviting him to have breakfast with him, inviting him again to the table to provide for him. But we know that food alone does not restore a person, right? And that is a strong statement from me because I do believe that food does a lot, right? I believe it. Women's ministry has a lot around food and around the table. We do believe that there is a lot that happens that's powerful around the table, but food alone does not restore a person. Just like hospitality here does not end with coffee and hot chocolate, Jesus restores Peter to his mission and his purpose in deeper conversation. In reiterating his affection and relationship with Jesus, Peter is being reestablished into the inside again. Right? He is being reestablished in his identity. Jesus doesn't ask three times because he's like, I don't believe you, Peter. Let me ask you three times because I didn't believe you the first two times that you said you love me. Let me just rub your face in it because if you did love me, you would not have denied me. Right? He is not asking it because of that. He does not ask it three times because he's like, I don't know. I'm not sure, Peter. Do you love me? Because honestly, the third time that Peter's asked, he feels hurt and he's like, Jesus, you know all things. You know if I love you or not. Why are we having this conversation? Right? Jesus has no question about who Peter is. He knows exactly who Peter is. He knows exactly what he's capable of. He knows that he's going to fail again and he has failed before. He also knows that he has the potential for great things. He knows all of this. The questions are not for Jesus. The questions are for Peter, right? After Peter has denied Jesus three times in his shame, in his guilt, in his feeling like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm about. I don't even know where I belong anymore. Jesus is saying, I know who you are. I'm asking you, do you love me? Because it is a reminder that you do and that you will feed my sheep. In establishing his mission and a reminder of what he is to do, what he's supposed to be about, where he belongs. It is not a, and this is how you're going to make it up to me, Peter. It is not a, and this is your punishment for the rest of your life because you failed me. It is not any of that. It is an honor. It is a welcome into the inside. Because we know that when we are part of group, when we're a part of a group of friends and we're always the guest and we're never asked to host anything, we're not really on the inside, right? When we're part of an organization or a school or a group of people and you're not trusted to help plan something or give your opinions or make something better, you're on the outside. It is when you're invited to be part of the mission, to be like the host, to make something happen, to share your opinions, to shape and form that organization, that school, that group of friends, that you're on the inside. And I don't think anyone is like, I'm just glad to be a guest because I don't want to host. Like, that's too much work, right? Like, maybe that is true at the beginning, but at some point you feel like, man, I don't really feel like these are my people. I don't really feel like I belong here because if I left, I don't know if they would notice the difference because I'm constantly just the guest here. There is something honoring about being invited in and saying, be a part of this. This is the mission. Feed my sheep. You know you're on the inside and I want you on the inside, Peter. This is who you are. So there is something about establishing his identity and giving him a mission that is actually extremely loving, and it is exactly what Peter needs. Mission is always an experience and a result of my own experience of being at the table with God already, right? Who creates space for me, who chases after me even when I've messed up, even when I forget who I am, even when I'm like, what is my life about? Where do I belong? Who are my people? I just want to invite you to something right now this morning. This is your church. This is your community. Whether you have been here for 10 years or you've been visiting for three months, right? I want you to feel at home here. I want you to know that Jesus has set a place at this table for you and has been empty waiting for you until you come. We are grateful you are here. We're glad that you are here. And we hope that this feels like home to you and that you belong here. I want you to not just be a guest or a spectator. I don't want you to feel like I can come in and out and no one needs to know that I'm here. I want you to be on the inside. And what that means is I want you to see yourself in your role as a host here on Sunday mornings. That is our mission. We exist to be an authentic community that makes Jesus Christ fully known so that others may come to fully know him. That is our mission. And if you're a part of our church and our community here, that is your mission. And on a Sunday morning, what hospitality looks like is not that you would just finesse these guests and just be like, you are, hey man, like you are in the best place. I'm gonna make you feel so good about yourself. What I want is for you to just share your authentic self, right? And be able to share, man, I'm having a hard day, you know, or I'm having a great day, right? Like whatever. But what I'm asking is that you would just bring your authentic self and all of who you are and host and create a space that feels like other people belong here too. And that has nothing to do with just the space, although we do create spaces for that. It has to do with people, right? If we have the best coffee bar, but nobody's talking to people as they're getting coffee, it defeats the purpose. If we have meet and greet, and no one gets out of their aisles to have the eyes to see who is new here and go up to them and talk with them, it defeats the purpose of meet and greet, right? If we have a greeting team that is at the door, but which, by the way, we need more volunteers on the greeting team, right? and they're the only people greeting, it doesn't work, right? And I will tell you this thing honestly. I honestly love meeting new people. I love getting to host them. I love hospitality. But most of the time, guests are not here to meet me. They of course want to see that there is solid staff and good teaching and all of that, but they're not looking for a church to join because they just want to be friends with staff. They want to belong to a community. They want to meet you guys, right? They want to see how you guys love each other and whether or not they have a place of belonging here with you guys, right? And so as much as I don't want to downplay my role here, but I also am like, they're not here to meet me, right? They're here to meet you. And there is a difference, right? And I will say this as well. This is not, we're not teaching on this because we're doing like a D job here. We're actually a very hospitable community. But I also feel like there is a different level of ownership that we can carry of saying, I host this space on Sunday, right? This is a space where I get to come. And yes, I get to partake of the coffee too. I get to receive here too. This space is for me as well, but also I get to host this space as well. I get to make sure that others feel welcome as well. I get to be part of making sure that people feel like there's a space for them as well, and that they're seen when they are here, and that they will be missed when they are not, and that I will remember their names when they come again, right? I know that not all of us love the meet and greet time. I know that. I know that some of us are like, oh my goodness, it is just so awkward. That is the time for me to get coffee and go to the restroom. I see you, right? And, you know, the truth of it is that I wish there was this, like, formula or question that makes it not awkward and easy for introverts or those who are just like, honestly, I don't really want to talk to anybody right now, or this is just an awkward interaction that feels really forced, you know? But there isn't. There just isn't. And there's not a lot of things that we can teach from up front that we get to practice together every single week, right? A lot of things that we teach on in your discipleship, in the way that you follow Jesus, you take that into your workplace, you take that into your family, you take that with your neighbors, and you practice it there, right? But there is something really unique about hospitality here, where we put in discipleship time. It's called meet and greet for us to practice hospitality, right? It is a chance. It's just like you have quiet time in the mornings, or you have worship time in your car, like in the afternoons or whatever. This is a set aside time, 3 to 4 minutes every Sunday, for you to practice hospitality and work on your discipleship with Jesus. And I know that for some of us, it is harder than others of us, but all of us get to practice in that. And it rarely happens if we do not move outside of our aisles. It rarely happens if we just say, I don't need to do this because other people are doing this. That's all that matters, right? We all get to practice this together, and we don't get better at it without practicing, unfortunately, right? Like I sometimes listen to communication coaches and they're like, yeah, the only way to get better is just practicing. And I don't want us to see this as a communication exercise. It is more just like, oh, we get to practice expanding our hearts and seeing other people. And I wonder if we look around, we just need to practice being able to see guests, to be able to see people that don't normally come. And I think that we need practice in that. You know, I think we need to practice when we're running out the door, whether or not we plan something after church, right after church, or if we decide, you know what, I'm just going to give a window of 20 minutes after church so that I can be hospitable. Or maybe you decide, instead of running in at 9:35, maybe I come 5 minutes early because I want to make sure that I practice being hospitable, right? Again, these are just ideas. right? This is not like, and now we're going to all do this. But every single thing that we decide determines whether or not we're hosting or we're just coming as a guest, right? And what I want is I want us all to feel like this is our space. This is our third space together, and we all get to welcome people here together. Because, man, I've experienced sitting at Jesus' table, and it is good. And I want other people to experience that too. And so I want us to get some practice in this and build some skills, right? So again, this is not like these are the five questions you should be asking, but I find that sometimes small talk is extremely boring. And I think sometimes when we just focus on like asking like, what do you do for a living? Where do you live? Or like I just asked somebody today, where do you live? You know, like or some of these basic things, like small talk can feel so boring. So these are just some ideas of questions that you can ask. Sometimes it's helpful for me to have like one or two questions as I go into the morning, just knowing like, okay, these are just some of my fallbacks when I'm like spacing out, you know? What are you spending your time on these days? I like that question instead of what do you do for a living? Because there's some people who are in between jobs. There's some people that are stay-at-home moms, and all their time is valuable, important, right? What are you spending your time on these days? What are you looking forward to this week? Tell me more about yourself. What is the goal you have for 2025? If you had a full free day, what would you do with your time? Maybe none of these questions feel good to you. Maybe you're like, no, none of them is something that I can see myself asking. Then come up with a different one. Right? This is not, again, like, hey, you need to ask these questions. But my hope is that we would be spending some time thinking about, like, what are ways that I can engage with other people that help them feel like, oh, you want to get to know me? Not just like, oh, you're doing an obligatory, like, oh, you want to say hi because I'm the guest and whatever. And by the way, if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for bearing with me on all of this. You get to see the inner workings of us as a community, as imperfect and broken as we are, trying to be hospitable. So you get to see a little bit of that. I hope that you would be gracious with us. I hope that you would hear this talk this morning and know that it is our efforts to really lean into the goodness of God and trust Him to push us into discomfort and uncomfortable things. And that it has nothing to do with you and absolutely everything to do with us and our relationship with Jesus. I think in a world where we feel protective of our own time and our own relationships and our own comfort, it is so easy to not do this. It is counterintuitive to be like, hey, I'm just going to reach out and I'm just going to like talk to other people, right? But I love this adage when it says this, when you have more than enough, build longer tables, not taller fences. When you have more than you need, build a longer table, not higher fence, not higher fences, right? And that's the invitation today, because that's the character of God. That's Jesus' invitation, right? And that's His invitation to us as well, right? We don't need to protect anything. Jesus gives it to us freely and abundantly. And what we get to do is we get to share it. All right? So, I'm not going to have us practice right now. Although, man, that is so tempting, right? But we did meet and greet already. But my invitation is for us to just say, what is one question that I'm going to ask someone that I don't normally see or have the eyes to see someone that is visiting today? And after church, in the lobby, at the playground, I'm going to engage with at least one or two people. And I'm just going to ask them, like, hey, what are you looking forward to this week? I've seen you here a few times. Can you tell me a little bit more about yourself? Right? We get to practice this together, not because we're perfect at this, but because Jesus invites us to, because He wants us on the inside. Okay? Let me pray for us. Father God, we are so grateful that you invite us to your table. And the table is long and the table is wide. And you have the eyes to see those who don't belong to any table, who are looking and wandering around looking for a space where there would be belonging for them. And God, we just pray that you would give us eyes to see people. We pray that you would give us the heart that you have to be hospitable. And God, we all know that it is something that we need to grow in, that we need to choose into. And so God, I pray that you would grow us in this. And I pray that it would be something that we would see as beautiful and good, not rigid and mandatory. Thank you for your invitation this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen.